Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Hey. We left off at the Mishnah on daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, very famous Mishnah in Shas. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu in Apsulim, the following are people who are pasul le'edus, and they are not just pasul le'edus, pasul ladun. That's why it fits into everything we've been talking about. We've been talking about Dayanim and how to choose Dayanim for a Beis Din of three people. So Rashi says, Ve'elu in Apsulim, ladun u'le'ed, both for din and to be made. But let's see, what are the psulim? So number one, hamesachik bekuvia, someone who gambles. Mesachik bekuvia, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what he does, but pashtos is, it means a dice player, someone who gambles in a game of chance. Vamalva beribis, someone who lends money with ribis, with interest. Now the Mishnah does not say about the guy who borrows money with interest, just talks about a guy who lends money with interest. We'll see in the Gemara, what about someone who borrows money with interest? Umafrichayonim, people who fly pigeons. Why would you fly pigeons? Again, we're going to see in the Gemara two possibilities of what the Isser of Mafrichayonim is. Vesochre shvius, and people who do business with Shemitah produce. Amar Rabbi Shimon b'tchilo yikornos an osve shvius. It used to be that we would call these people not sochre shvius, merchants of shvius, but rather osve shvius, gatherers of shvius, which technically, by the way, is mutter. If you just talk about gathering in shvius produce from the field, you're allowed to go to someone's field and take in the produce as long as you do the biur. We discussed this on Shabbos. As long as you do the biur by the zman biur, there's nothing wrong with technically being osef peros during shvius. So the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the problem with that is. Misha rabu ha'anasin chazru lekrosan sochre shvius. But then when the anasin became more common, they decided to call it back to being sochre shvius. The Gemara is going to discuss what in the world is going on in this Mishnah. Who are the anasin? Why does it change the title of people who are osve shvius or sochre shvius? That's tomorrow's stuff, actually. So we're going to have to wait for that. Rabbi Yehuda, going back to the gambling issue, though, says Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when do we assume that they're pasul le'edus when someone gambles, when someone's mesachik b'kuvia? V'zman she'in lehen umnus elahu, when he has no other profession other than gambling. That's how he makes his money. But if he has some other profession, he has a normal 9-to-5, and he just happens to enjoy gambling on the weekends, k'sherin, then he's still going to be kashul edus. That is Rabbi Yehuda. So a couple of issues that we're going to need to deal with in the Mishnah are, is there a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? Is the Rabbi Yehuda just explaining the Tanakama? If there is a machlokas, who are we going to paskin like? And the Gemara is obviously going to deal with this issue. So let's see the Gemara. Mesachik b'kuvia ma'ika avid. What's the problem with gambling? What did you do wrong if you're mesachik b'kuvia? So the Gemara has two opinions. Amar Rami bar Chama mishum da v'asmachta, v'asmachta lo kanya. Rami bar Chama says that this is considered asmachta, and asmachta is not a valid form of kinyan. What does asmachta mean? It means that you don't have full das to commit yourself to the kinyan. That if a person says, if this happens, then I'll pay you $1 million. So we don't assume the person really intends to pay $1 million. We assume that the person assumes that the event is never going to happen. So that's why he says it as an expression. He says that if I don't do my homework today, the kid says, I'll give you $1 million. So the kid assumes he's going to do his homework. He's not really committing to pay $1 million. And therefore, that's called a smachta. So Rabbi Bar Chama assumes that when you gamble, you're saying, if you get a higher number in the blackjack, that's still under 21 than I do, then I'll give you $1,000. I'm not really planning on giving you $1,000 when I get into the game. I'm planning on getting the higher number. I'm planning on winning the game. And therefore, that's called a smachta when I go and I lose the game and you take my money. So it's as if you're stealing my money because I never had full das to actually commit the money. That's the concept of asmachta. Now, obviously, if you were to ask the guy in advance and, interview him, do you know the rules of the game? Yes. Do you understand that if you get a lower number, that means you're going to give up the money? Yes, I understand all that. Obviously, logically, intellectually, he understands it. What asmachta means is that he doesn't have full commitment, that you need full das makna in order to commit to paying the money, and you don't have 100% full commitment when you get involved in such a game. Rav Shesha Samar, Kolki agav nalav asmachti. Rav Shesha says, no, that's not asmachta. Gambling is not asmachta. Elofi she'in asukin b'yishuvah shalolam. No, you know what the problem with gambling is? It's that you're not osik b'yishuvah shalolam. You're not being involved in normal day-to-day running of the world, how the world normally works with, you don't understand the value of money, you don't understand what it means to work hard for money, everything is just up $1 million, down $1 million, it's all just, it all means nothing to you, it's all just numbers to you, because it's something that's just, goes in one direction or the other, based on the flip of a coin, so it's not something that really means anything to you. So that's why you can't be made. Now it sounds like, according to Rav Sheshes, you're not stealing, you're not doing anything usser, it's just that you can't be made, because you're going to be made about dinei mamonos, you're going to be made about somebody's money, you don't even appreciate the value of money. It's not something that means anything to you. It's the mashal, if someone thinks that, doesn't care about kashrus, doesn't thinks the whole thing is a joke, he thinks it doesn't make a difference what you eat, so you're going to trust him about what's kosher, what's not, he'll easily lie to you, because what does he care? It doesn't make a difference to him, it doesn't matter, it's just, it's all a game to him. So someone who money is a game to, it doesn't mean anything to him, how's he going to take it seriously when you're in a small claims case with somebody else? It's very difficult for someone to take money seriously if he doesn't himself take your money seriously if he doesn't take his own money seriously. So my benai. So, but it sounds like that if you're ain oskim b'yishuvah shel olam, it's not usser to be eino osik b'yishuv shalom, because this is where this Mishnah is most often studied, this sugya is most often studied when people try to figure out, is gambling mutter or is it aser? People often want to know, can they bet on the Super Bowl? It's March Madness. Can they put money in a March Madness pool? Can they, all these different things. Can they have a weekly poker game just for fun amongst friends, just to gamble small amounts of money? So is that okay? So one would assume, eino osikin b'yishuv shalom, would mean mutter. Says the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos over here, v'isser zeh, this isser of gambling, l'fishu mis'asik b'davar she'in bo to'eles li'yishuv ha'olam. Interesting lashon. He says the isser of gambling is because you're not osik b'yishuv ha'olam. Clearly the Rambam understands that being eino osik b'yishuv ha'olam is itself problematic, that itself is an isser. Umi yisodei haTorah, and it's one of the foundations of the Torah. Sha'adam ein roi lo li'asek b'olam hazeh, that a person should be involved in this world only el be'echad mishnei dvarim, with one of two endeavors. O b'Torah, kedei shetishlam nafsha b'chachmasa, either in learning Torah, so that his neshama can be complete and full of the chachmasa Torah, o b'malacha, or a person should work. Sheto lo b'asmada samatziyus, o umnius v'ascharos, but he says even amongst those two activities it shouldn't be even, there should be more Torah, less Malacha, if you're going to balance the two, like the Mishnah novel says. So the bottom line is the Rambam seems to assume Einosik B'Yishuv Shalom doesn't mean it's Mutter. Einosik B'Yishuv Shalom is also a problem to be Einosik B'Yishuv Shalom. It's just that which passels you the Eidos is the not that you're stealing, but the lack of sensitivity to money. So frak the Gemara, my benayhu, what's the nafkamina between the two opinions as to why gambling passels you from edus? Ikabinayu the gamarum nasachriti. Nafkamina is if you are osik b'yishuv shalom. Meaning, it could be that while you're gambling, you're not osik b'yishuv shalom. But if you have a normal 9-to-5 job and you just gamble a little bit, so then you are osik b'yishuv shalom. You do appreciate the value of money. But if it's a smachta, that it's considered stealing midrabanan, so then it doesn't make a difference if you only steal on weekends, you're still going to be pasul le'edus. So that's the nafkamina. Says the Gemara, Ditnan, Am Rav Yehuda Emosai, Bizman She'en Lam Numnus Elohu, Al V'yesh Lam Numnus Shalohu K'sherim. Alma taimed masnis mishum yishuv shalom. So says the Gemara, wait a second, mishum yishuv shalom hu kashalorim berchama. Wait a second, at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda clarifies the position about gambling. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say? That it's only a problem if you're not osik b'yishuv shalom, if you don't have another job that is osik b'yishuv shalom. But if you have another job, then there's no problem with gambling. So isn't that a major problem for Rami Barchama, who thinks that the problem with gambling is that it's stealing midrabanan? How could Rami Barchama say that? It's clearly against Rabbi Yehuda, and the pashtus is that Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the Tanakhama. There's no machlokas in the Mishnah about gambling, about what the isra of gambling is, or what the problem with a gambler being made is. That's not the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda is just coming to explain the Tanakhama. So how could Rabbi Bar Chama say against Rabbi Yehuda? It seems clear that the issue is one of osik b'yishuv shalom. V'chitema pligi rabbanan aleid Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe you're going to say, no, Rabbi Yehuda is not just explaining the Tanakhama, he's arguing on the Tanakhama. It's a big machlokas. There's a machlokas when Rabbi Yehuda, which lishonos Rabbi Yehuda uses that indicate that he's explaining the Tanakhama, and which lishonos Rabbi Yehuda uses that indicate that he's arguing on the Tanakhama. The Chacham say whenever he uses the term emesai or bameh, it's always coming to explain. Rabbi Yochanan says the word emesai is coming to explain, the word bameh is always coming to be cholik. When he says bameh dvar mamurim, when are these words said? That's only in the Chiya Gavna in this type of case. But another type of case, that's an argument according to Rabbi Yochanan. In our Mishnah, what term does he use? Emesai. Emesai, according to everybody, is going to be only an explanation and not an argument. So, frakta gemara de kuli alma emesai lefarishu. So, according to everyone, emesai is only lefarish. So, back to the question: how could Rabbi Bar Chama say that gambling is a problem of stealing midrabana and of asmachta? It can't be asmachta because Rabbi Yehuda says beferish that if you have another job, then you're not pasul eidus, and that wouldn't work for asmachta. That only works mishamein elosik mishuv shalolam. So, answers the gemara: gavra agavra karamis. What you're asking is stira between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's definition of when Rabbi Yehuda is arguing and Rami Bar Chama's definition of when Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. Yeah, so Rami Bar Chama doesn't think that he has to follow this rule, that whenever it says Emasai, that it always means Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining. Rami Bar Chama thinks it's a machlokas in the Mishnah, and Rami Bar Chama is entitled to his own opinion. Mar Savar Pligi, Umar Savar Lo Pligi. So there's one shita that holds, Rami Bar Chama holds that they do argue, and Rabbi Shuban Levi holds that they don't argue in the Mishnah, and that's exactly the machlokas, meaning everyone would agree that if there's a machlokas, the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda, we would paskin like the Rabbanan. The question over here is there a machlokas? So Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says that gambling is an issue of Eino Osik B'Yishuv Shalalam, says that there's not a machlokas in our Mishnah, so everyone in our Mishnah is saying Eino Osik B'Yishuv Shalalam. Rami Bar Chama, who says that it's an issue, I'm sorry, it was Rav Sheshet saying Eino Osik B'Yishuv Shalalam. Rami Bar Chama, who says that it's an issue of a smachta, will say that there is a machlokas in our Mishnah, that Enochinami Rabbi Yehuda holds it's about Enos of Yishuv Shalom, but we don't pasken that way. We pasken the Tanakhama that holds it's Asmachta. So that's the machlokas in our Gemara. Good, that's why we could have a machlokas Amorayim. So frak the Gemara, velo pligi, can you suggest that they're not arguing? Vatanya, ben sheish lo'um neshalohu, ben she'en lo'um neshalohu, harez apostle. We have a brisa that explicitly says that even if you do have another job, you're still pasul eidus if you gamble occasionally. So what do you see from there? That obviously there's a tana that holds asmachta, that it's not an issue of ein osik b'yishuv shalom. So you got to say that it's a machlokas tanayim. Answers the Gemara, he Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Tarfon he. Now that's a different shita. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Tarfon that holds that gambling, even occasionally, even if you have another job, is going to be aser, is going to make you pasul le'edus. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amr b'shem Rabbi Tarfon la'olam ein echad mehen nazir l'fi shalona nitna nizirus el la'afla. Because we know Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Tarfon that in a specific case, neither party is going to be a nazir because nazirus requires an absolute commitment. What in the world is the case we're talking about, and what in the world does that have to do with gambling and with our Mishnah? So says Rashi, Ein Echad Mehen Nazir, what's the case? Shnayim Yoshvin, two people are sitting down. Ve'echad Over, and there's one guy passing by. So the two guys who are sitting, just watching the people passing by, they're people watching. Ze'omer Ploni Ha'over Nazir Hu. So Ruvain says, you know, that guy that's walking by, he's a Nazir. Ve'ze'omer, Einu Nazir. Shimon says, nah, that guy's not a Nazir. Ve'omer Echad, Hareini Nazir im Kamoso hu Shehu Nazir. And one of them says, Reuven says, you know what, Shimon says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy's a Nazir. Meaning, I'm committing to make myself a Nazir if that guy's a Nazir. The Chaver Omer, Hareini Nazir im Kamoso hu Shehu Nazir. Says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy's not a Nazir. Ushnei Miskavna L'Nazirus. They both intend to become a Nazir if they're wrong. V'nimtza Ke'ech Mehen, obviously one of them is right. Because the guy's either a Nazir, the guy passing by is either a Nazir or not a Nazir. Va'amar Rabbi Tarfon ein echad mehen nazir. Neither of the two people watchers who are sitting down, neither Reuven nor Shimon, actually become a nazir. Why? Sha'al ha-safek amar dvar of tchila. Because when each one committed to be a nazir, it was based on a safek. If this happens, then I am a nazir. Ve'ein zu hafla'a. And that's not hafla'a. Hafla'a means an absolute certain commitment. D'chiyafli ish is the lashon of the pasuk. When the pasuk describes becoming a nazir, it says, ish kiyafli neder be'erkecha nefashos l'Hashem. It's kiyafli. Yifarish mashma, which means it has to be explicit and clear. Almal Rabbi Tarfon duchi tali tana b'midi d'lav b'yadin. Now here's the key. What does this have to do with gambling? So you see, in Rabbi Tarfon's view, when you make something dependent on something that's not in your control, v'lo yadala, and you are unaware of how it's going to turn out, afilu hachi havi asmachta, that's called asmachta. We don't say that you have intent for a full level kinyan. We assume that you didn't have the full level of kavan and intent necessary. So basically, see, Rabbi Tarfon's shita is that that's called asmachta. So yes, there is a shita in Tanaim according to everybody. There is a brisa out there that holds that gambling, whether you have another job or don't have another job, is going to pass you the edus, because there is that shita of Rabbi Tarfon that it's called asmachta. Tosus asks on Rashi over here, how can you prove anything from the case of Nazir? After all, by Nazir, it says Beferish, Ishkiyafli. The point is that by Nazir, we have a special Gzeres HaKasuv, that you need to be speaking in absolutes. But we don't have such a Gzeres HaKasuv by other areas of Halacha. So how can you be so certain that we can learn out from Nazir? If you look at the bottom of Tosos, Hiksha Rivan, Mai Medam, Yekinyin L'Nazirus, Shaini Nazirus, Tegali Krad, Chsiv Kiyafli. So he says, V'yeshlam D'mikol Malkom, Nelef Mina B'Yalma. But maybe that's what we call a mematzinu, right? The Torah sometimes will tell us something in one place to be megala to us, that is the halacha everywhere else as well. So maybe ishkiyafli is not a din specific to Nazir, it's a din that's described in the Torah in relation to Nazir, but then we're supposed to be medama milsa la milsa and apply it everywhere else in the Torah. That Tosfos has a more complicated answer as well. But getting back to the gambling discussion. So now we just learned the whole sugya, that's it. So is gambling mutter, is gambling usher? So what do we do? So clearly machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's a smachta or einosik b'shuvah shalom, let's assume einosik b'shuvah shalom is itself mutter, because it makes for a more interesting discussion. Right? If you assume like the Rambam that einosik b'shuvah shalom is itself a problem because it's not learning and it's not melacha, so then gambling is going to be asked no matter what. It's just a question of whether apostles do le'edos. But let's assume that einosik b'shuvah shalom is mutter. So what's the issue? What's the issue whether it's a smachta or not? What is a smachta? What does a smachta mean? So there are three cases in Shas that the Gemara defines clearly as being a smachta. What are those cases? But Basudav Kuf Samaches, the Gemara talks about someone who pays back part of a loan. So he owes $100, he pays back 50. There's still a shtar out that says that he owes 100, and they give the shtar to a third party, and he tells the third party, look, if I don't pay back the other 50 by 2 weeks from now, you can give back the whole shtar to the lender, and he'll be able to collect the full 100. So does he really intend to give back the full 100? He intends to pay back the other 50 within 2 weeks. He doesn't really intend to give back the full 100. That's one case of a smachta. You have a case in B'Metzia Dafayin Zayin of giving a mashkon as a guarantee to keep your word. So do you really intend for the guy to keep the mashkon? Probably not. And the third case of a farmer who offers to pay if he neglects his responsibilities. He says, if I don't work this karka the way I'm supposed to, then I'm going to give you me meitav, I'm going to give you an exorbitant sum of money, I'm going to give you a lot. So obviously he plans on working the field. Those are all the three cases of a smachta and shas. So why should gambling, yes, be a smachta? Why should it not be a smachta? So according to Rami Bar Chama, the definition of a smachta is any condition that you make that's not fully sincere because you think you're going to win, you think you're not going to have to end up paying the money, so that's called a smachta. And therefore, gambling is a classic smachta, according to Rami Bar Chama. Rav Sheshes, though, says, no, gambling is not a smachta. Those other three are. Gambling's not. Why? What's different about gambling from those other three? So that's a three-way machlokas rishonim right here on the page. Rashi in Sanhedrin right here says, Hechidami asmachta. What is a smachta? Like the case in Bab Metzia, the case in Bab Basra. What do those cases have in common? Tesomech alo dover. Tesavar kol ze biyadi lasos. That the point is that a smachta is if you believe you are in control of the outcome. With gambling, you know that you're not in control of the outcome, and therefore it's not a smachta. Gambling, you know that you might have to pay because it's not in your control to see to it that you won't have to pay. You'll lose the game, and you're not going to be in complete control. That's how Rashi understands Asmachta. That's why Rav Sheshes, not how Rashi understands Asmachta, that's how Rashi understands Rav Sheshes' view of Asmachta. Again, according to Rami Bar Chama, everyone agrees gambling is Asmachta. But within Rav Sheshes' view, that's why Rashi says Rav Sheshes does not think gambling is Asmachta. The Re, quoted in Tosfos over here, says that when it is in my control, it's Asmachta if it's clearly a guzma. Meaning something that's in my control in all those three cases are Asmachta because I clearly don't mean it. I clearly don't intend to pay. When it's partially in my control, it's also Asmachta. Only when it's totally out of my control, it's not asmachta. And by gambling, by misachri b'kuvya, playing dice is a total game of chance. There's zero skill whatsoever. According to the Ri, if there's any skill involved whatsoever, everyone would agree it's asmachta. So if you believe there's skill in poker, and apparently there is, so then you would, the Ri would tell you that all would agree that that's asmachta, that that is a problem, that's stealing. Rabbeinu Tam is the third shita quoted in Tosfos over here on Chafei Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam says that the definition of asmachta, according to Rav Sheshes, is only when I make a promise to convince you to trust me. But by gambling, it's a mutual promise. And any mutual promise where one of us is going to lose money and the other one's going to gain, but it could go in both directions, it's not all on me, that's not going to be asmachta. Asmachta is only when only one person could lose. Meaning, I'm telling you, I promise I'm going to work this field really hard, and if I don't, I'm going to pay you a ton of money. Not, and if I do, you're going to pay me an exorbitant sum of money. No, it's all in one direction. That's asmachta. When it's two directional, it's not asmachta. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understands it. So how do we paskin in our Gemara? First of all, do we paskin like Rabbi Bar Chama, or do we paskin like Rav Sheshes? So this is a major machlokas. The Rif over here in Sanhedrin, Tosfos Masechet Seirav and Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, hold gambling is not asmachta like Rav Sheshes. And therefore, however you hold, Rav Sheshes defines asmachta, is going to determine whether you can or cannot gamble on occasion. Pashas is, occasionally it would be mutter. The Rivash in the Tshuva and Simon Tuf Lamed Beis, and the Ravaz in the Tshuva and Simon Reish Yodalit hold that gambling does involve asmachta, and is therefore usher even on occasion. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu that it's only permissible if you put money on the table. Meaning, even if you hold that it's an issue of Eino Yosef Yeshuva Shalom, the only way you can avoid any problems of asmachta, of actual stealing, is if the money's put on a table that's nikna to both people, so both people on the table, so it's as if the money, you're makna the money in advance. So if the money's out on the table beforehand, like in a poker game, let's say, so then it's going to be okay. But otherwise, it's not going to be okay. The Rambam seems to be soser himself. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos says that you're only puzzle if Ein Lo Umnus Elohu, and in Hilchos Gzeilah Aveda he says that it's considered Gezel Midrabanan. So the Rambam seems to assume that it's really Aser, but thinks that if you have another job, it's not going to puzzle you Le'edus, which is an interesting Shita. It's an interesting in-between. That it's Aser to do, will it puzzle you Le'edus? Only if that's all you do. But it's still Aser to do. So how do we paskin la'alacha? Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's gezel midivrayim. Sfardim, it's a no-brainer. It's an open and shut case. For Sfardim, it's absolutely Aser to gamble. For Ashkenazim, the Ramah paskins that it's mutter, like Rav Sheshes. But then he says you need the money to be there, and maybe even you need the money to be on a place that's jointly owned. You need the money out on the table. So let's say when it comes to poker, so poker involves some skill. So if it involves some skill, according to Rashi and the Ri, that's going to be a smachta according to everybody. The only thing that's going to be a mutter, even according to the Ramah, is something that's purely a game of chance, and involves no skill whatsoever. And the money is out there. So there aren't that many things that you could play that actually are like that, that are pure chance, no skill, and the money is there in advance. Because most of the things that are pure chance and no skill, the money's not put down in advance. So, okay, but so you have to figure it out if there's any way that you can gamble. You have to be a lamdan to figure out how to gamble in a way that's mutter. So it's usually not worth it, not worth taking the risk. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter, Malva Bribis. So he said that someone who lends money with interest is considered to be Pasul Eidos. So Amar Rava, what about the guy who borrows money? He says, Lova Bribis Pasul Eidos. Yeah, the guy who borrows money with interest is also Pasul Eidos. Frankly, Maravan Antran, Malva Bribis. But doesn't it say that a Malva Bribis, someone who lends money with interest, Pasul Eidos, not the borrower? Says the Gemara, no, Milva Haba'a Bribis. It means anyone involved in a Ribis loan. Anyone involved in a loan that had ribis is going to be pasul eidos, whether you're the malva or the lova, it doesn't make a difference. Barbi nitos asidu be trei sahadi. Barbi nitos had two people come and testify against him. Chad amar kamedi di ozif beribisa. One witness says, yeah, right in front of my face, I saw this barbi nitos lend money to somebody with ribis. Chad amar lidi di ozif beribisa. And the other one says, he lent money to me with ribis. He charged me interest. So Pasli Rava Barbinitos. Rava says, two Aiden that he lent money with interest, he's Pasla Eidos. Strike the Gemara. Va'rava Udamar love of Rebbe's pasul le'edus. Va'vle Russia. Va'tara Amal Tashus Russia aid. But wait a second. You, Rava, are the guy that holds that even the guy who borrows money with Rebbe's is violating Avera. So the second aid who came and said that this Bar Binitos lent him money with Rebbe's is saying about himself that he did an Avera. So he's a Russia. How can you trust him to be an aid if he's a Russia? Says the Gemara, Rava l'tamei, because Rava has another shita that he also holds of, which is Dama Rava Adam Karavei Salatzma Vein Adam Esam Atzma Rasha. A person is considered to be related to himself, and a person can't make himself into a Rasha. So we don't believe him that it was to him. It's Palgina Dibura. We believe him that Bar Binitos lent money with Ribbis. We don't believe him that it was to him because we can't believe him that he's a Rasha. Ein Adam Esam Atzma Rasha. There was a butcher that they found that he was selling trefa meat. So pasle happens every once in a while. Pasle Rav Nachman va'avrei. So Rav Nachman pasled him le'edus and for anything, and he fired him. He told him he can't serve as the kosher butcher in town anymore. Azul Ravi Mazie Vitufrei. So he went and he grew his hair long and his fingernails long as a sign of tshuva. He went and he did what looked like a real sincere tshuva. Savar of Nachman Nachshori, Rav Nachman saw he's crying, he's davening along Shmon Esrei, he grew his beard, he's doing all these things that looks like he's really doing tshuva. So it looks like he really has charata. So Rav Nachman wanted to maybe give him his old job back, let him be kashal edus and let him be able to be a butcher. Amar Le Rava, Rava says, Dilmi Arumi Kamarim. The guy's out of a job. He'll do anything to convince you that maybe he's tricking you. You don't know what's sincere. How do you read his mind? Elamaita kante, so what? The guy's never going to be able to work again. The guy will never be able to be a kosher aid again because of one time he did an avera that he sold the tray for a piece of meat. Is there any way to get him back to being a kosher aid? So says Gemara, Pid Ravidi Bar Avin. Yes, there is a way. He has to like Ravidi Bar Avin. Dam Ravidi Bar Avin, ha choshel al treifos ein lo takana ad sheyelech lemakom shein makirin. So he goes to a place where they don't recognize him, where nobody knows who he is. The yachzer aveda b'davar chashuv. And he returns an aveda that he could have kept if he really wanted to, that's worth a lot of money. Or again, he's willing to give up a treifa that could have saved him a lot of money. Meaning the point is, you have to see that he's not so greedy anymore. You have to see that he's not willing to do averos for the sake of money. As soon as he's able to prove that he's not willing to do averos for the sake of money, then he's able to go back to being kashal aid. As soon as he gives up a legitimate amount of money, then he's going to be kosher le'edus again. Now, what did he do exactly that made him pasul le'edus in the first place? When you sell non-kosher meat, don't you have to do an avera in order to be pasul le'edus? Is selling non-kosher meat, the people who bought the meat are doing an avera, shogeg, right? But or ba'ones. But what did he do wrong? So the mefarshim try to figure out what avera he did, and they say pashtus is what was the avera. He violated lifnei lo sitein michshal for chimin mamon because he wanted money and he wanted to make money. He was violating the yisur daraisa of lifnei lo sitein michshal. The Rambam, however, in Hilchas Eidos Perikid Beis Halacha Tes, writes that a tabach shahaya bodek laatzmo umocher viyatzis trefa mitachas yado shareu bichlal ochle trefa shein psul naedos. The Rambam says that the butcher who sells non kosher meat is considered to be ochle trefa. He's like someone who eats non-kosher meat, and he's pasul eidus. Makes it sound like it's not an issue of lifnei iver. So what do you mean he's like ochle trefa? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, because if he's selling non-kosher meat and he doesn't care about you eating non-kosher, he probably just doesn't care about kosher that much. And he probably eats non-kosher meat himself. So if he's a very frum guy, so who doesn't eat any non-kosher, he just violates lifnei iver, makes everyone else eat non-kosher, maybe that wouldn't pasul him le'edus. The point is that we assume that if he's willing to sell non-kosher meat, he's willing to eat non-kosher meat. And we assume, therefore, that he's violated the isra of eating treifas anyway. Other acharim say, no, that's not what the Rambam means. The Rambam means that violating lifnei iver alone is enough to pasul him le'edus. Selling non-kosher meat alone is enough to pasul him le'edus. But there's a famous chakira about the isra of lifnei iver. When I cause you to do an avera of, let's say, eating non-kosher, so what's my avera? Do I have part of your avera? Is lifnei iver mechadesh that I have part of your avera of eating non-kosher? Or is lifnei iver just a separate isser, that I violated a separate isser of lifnei iver? But it's not that I have a share of your avera. Nafkamina would be, let's say, I'm not mechuyiv in what I caused you, a kohen, to go into a beis hakvaros. So what? It's as if I went into a beis hakvaros. okay, I'm a Yisrael. It's no problem for me to go into a Beis HaKvaros. But if it's a separate Isser, so then it would be Yasser anyway. It would be the Yisr Daraisa anyway. So maybe that's what the Achronim tried to say. Maybe that's what the Rambam meant, that he's like Ochle Trefa, that he has a Chelek in the Yavera that was done. It's not like a Chakira where you're going to say that it's for sure Mutter if let's say the Cohen case, where it's therefore Mutter because the Lifnei Iver works as me taking a piece of your Isser. No, I mean, the side of the Chakira would be, it works as both. As not only me getting a separate Isser of Lifnei Iver, because it's giving bad advice is Lifnei Iver, right? So if I give you Eitz Hara, so causing you to walk into a cemetery is also is at least Eitz Hara. Question is it also that I get a chelek of your Avera? So the Rama maybe is indicating that it's considered that it's also that you get a chelek of that Avera. And that's why he says the guy who sells non-kosher meat is Ochle Trefa. He's considered to be someone who is an Ochel Trefa. Well, how do we define what's considered a valuable thing? He has to give up some money, some value, something of value, in order to demonstrate that he's no longer interested in money and willing to violate Averos for the sake of money. So Rabbi Yaakov says it really depends on the person. We have to determine subjectively what's considered valuable, what's considered a significant amount of money for the person to give up. This is a very important Mar Makom in the sugya that we discussed once gave us a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, for the topic of why Beis Din doesn't accept tshuva. Beis Din Shalmata, if a person murders somebody and then he comes into Beis Din 2 weeks later and he says, this physical goof that you see in front of you murdered somebody, but I'm not the same person anymore, I've done tshuva, so don't kill me. So the halacha would be Beis Din would still kill him. Beis Din does not accept tshuva. So the Achronim discuss why Beis Din doesn't accept tshuva. So one of the most pashat answer that's given is because Beis Din never really knows if he did tshuva. What you see from this Gemara is that that's not such a pashat answer at all. Sometimes we assume Beis Din does know if you did tshuva. Legabe making someone kasher le'edus, Beis Din's willing to say, we know if you did tshuva or not. Right? When you grow hair long, we're not going to say you did tshuva. But if you actually gave up money for something, for integrity, so we see that Beis Din knows, and Beis Din's going to assume you did tshuva enough that we're going to allow you to be kasher aid. So much so, if you're going, you made it, that Reuven kills Shimon, we're going to kill Reuven based on your edus. So Beis Din's pretty confident that you did tshuva. Beis Din knows when you do tshuva. So it's not an issue of whether Beis Din knows that you did tshuva. So that's what we pointed out. Pashtus is that the reason Beis Din doesn't still punishes a Baal Tshuva is because that's the halacha, that Beis Din Shalmata doesn't deal with Tshuva. When Beis Din meets out Onesh, it has to give the Onesh that's demanded by the crime, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with your Tshuva. But in terms of whether a person is Kasha Le'edus, you're making a determination about the person, not about the Onesh, just about what the person is. So then Beis Din is allowed to say, okay, look, the guy did Tshuva, we know he did Tshuva, and therefore he's Kasha Le'edus. Okay, says Gemara Vayitim, Mafricha Yonim. What are Mafricha Yonim? People who are pigeon flyers. My Mafricha Yonim. Hachatugumai itakme yonech leon. It's pigeon racers. If your bird comes before my bird comes before your bird, and there's money on it. Rabbi Chaim Bar Oshia Amar Ara. Rabbi Chaim Bar Oshia says, no, it's some way of getting birds to come into your property from elsewhere. So it's sort of like a way of trapping birds or enticing birds to come to you so that you can get the birds. So Mandi Amri Takti if you hold this pigeon racing, my time alone or ara, why would you not say that it's this other method of just trapping birds? So Amrlach ara mimnei darkei shalom bialma, because he would say that ara is not really aser. That's only a darkei shalom issue that you're going to gather the whole neighborhood's birds. There's not going to be anything left for anybody else. Umandiam or ara my time alone or itak meyonik leon. The shita that holds that it's ara, why doesn't he say that it's pigeon racing? Amrlach hainim asachik kukuvia, because pigeon racing, that's gambling. Gambling is already mentioned in the Mishnah. The one that holds that it's pigeon racing will say that there are two types of gambling mentioned in the Mishnah. There's gambling where you tola b'das atzmo, and there's meaning where it's a smachta, and then there's gambling where you tola b'das yono, where you tola on the bird. Utzricha di tana tola b'das atzmo. The Mishnah only would have told us that when you're relying on yourself, like a mesachik b'kuvya, that that's where it's going to be aser hasam. That's where you're going to be. Because you might say in that case that a person is willing to, is not really being machne to the other party because he thinks that he's so good at this game, that he's so good at poker or at the dice game or whatever it is, that he's going to win. But how much confidence could he have in his bird, that his bird will be able to run faster? That's not something that he can have a great deal of confidence in, and therefore he must have been committed to the paying the money in advance. So I would have thought that it would not possible someone from Eidos. V'itana tala b'das yono, and if it only would have told me the case of the pigeon racing, damar b'naksha tal yamilsa, I would say, because a person relies on his own skill for pigeon racing also, and because you motivate the pigeon to run by banging and clapping on these boards or whatever, these clappers, so you're going to say, I know how to clap my thing just right, that my pigeon is going to be so motivated, it's going to run very fast. I'm saying running, not flying, because I think what it means is that they would tie up their wings and they would actually race them on the ground. Flying, they would just fly away. And I know how to shake my grogger better. I can cause my pigeon to go better. Maybe when it comes to a dice game, so he knows that it's purely a game of chance, and therefore he's willing to pay, and therefore it would not be asmachta. So tzricha, therefore we need to be told both cases of gambling, both pigeon racing as well as dice playing, that you're possible edus in either case. That's why we need the Mishnah to tell me both. So Meisvei, so says Gemara again, we're still trying to prove which definition of Mafricha Yonim is correct. So Meisvei, a Mesachik B'Kuvya, Elwin, a Mesachim B'Fis Pasim. What is Mesachik B'Kuvya? Someone who plays with dice. V'lobis Pasim B'Lvad Amru, El Afilu Klipe Agozim V'Klipe Rimonim. Not only dice, it could be nutshells or pomegranate shells, doesn't make a difference, but you do something where you flip something and money's going to change hands based on which way it turns. Ve'emas ha'chazarasan, when do we assume the person did tshuva to the extent that he's now going to be kosher le'edus? Right? If I got a call once from a Talmud, from a wedding. My friend just asked me to be an Eid Yichud for him, and I gambled a lot in high school. My kasha le'edos, should I tell him I can't be an Eid Yichud? Do we assume that when a guy gambled a lot in high school, that means he's not allowed to be an Eid for the rest of his life? Is there any way that you could do tshuva? So no, there is a tshuva. What's the tshuva? Mishi yishburas pispasehen v'yachz v'chazar gemura. When you break the dice, you don't keep your old set of lucky dice for old time's sake. You break the dice, and you do a full tshuva, dafilu b'chinam lo avdi, to the extent that you're not even going to play dice if there's no money on it anymore. That's right. That's Gamblers Anonymous, right? You know, they don't play. If you're a recovering gambler, you don't play cards even for no money. That's the ABCs. So that's called tshuva. Tshuva is where you're not going to play even when there's no money riding on it anymore. Malva Beribis, what's the definition of Malva Beribis? Echad Malva v'echad Alova. So we said it's both the borrower and the lender. V'emasai chazarasan, when do we assume that a Malva Beribis has done tshuva? Mishe yikru eshtarehen, v'yachzru ben chazar gemura, afilu nachri lamosfi. Where you tear up the shtar, you won't even lend money to a guy anymore. That even though you're allowed to, with ribbis, even though you're allowed to charge ribbis to a guy, you make that commitment that you're not going to lend money even to a guy with ribbis anymore. So you see that's a complete reversal. You have to go in the exact opposite direction of where you are. But all this is, why are we quoting all this? For the last case, Mafricha Yonim. We're still trying to prove what Mafricha Yonim are. So Mafricha Yonim, Elu. So the Masoros Shas on the side says, Shememarin es hayonim, what does that mean? Milashon morek, kolomar belamdin osa lefroach, lahaktim leonim acherim. That you trade birds to go faster. So, Shememarin es hayonim, someone who trains birds to go faster. Velo yonim belvad, not only yonim, amru, el afilu behem achayavof. It doesn't have to be birds, it could be any animal. That you're into horse racing, and you train a horse to go faster in order to be able to win horse races and to win money on horse races. When is it considered that a person does tshuva from betting on mafricha yonim or horse racing? Mishi yishbrus pigmehen, when you break the pigmehen. What are the pigmehen? Rashi says elu dafin shemizarzin behen. That's the grogger that you bang to cause them to go faster. So you have to break your utensil that you used. V'yachzru ben chazara gemura da'afilu b'midbar nami lo avdi. That you're not even going to do it in the midbar anymore. What's da'afilu b'midbar lo avdi? So says Rashi, t'lo shchichi yonim di'yishuv. When you're in the midbar, there are no privately owned birds. So Rashi says that last line, "Dafilu b'midbar nami lo avdi," is not part of the brisa. That because that last line only makes sense if the issue that we're concerned about with mafricha yonim is that you're trying to get birds, random birds, to come into your possession. So we say that when's it considered that you did tshuva if you won't even do it in the midbar where the birds are all hefker and you won't even do it there? But that's not part of the brisa because this brisa is trying to prove the other way, right? We're trying to prove from this brisa the other way that mafricha yonim doesn't involve trying to get birds to come into your possession. It involves trying to race birds, make some go faster than others. So lishni v'itak miyonik liyon iklafushe chazar gemura ta'afilu b'chinam nami lo avdi k'tepriyush k'avikuvia. If you hold that the issue with mafricha yonim is that it's gambling, so what's chazar gemura? What's complete tshuva? Complete tshuva is that when you won't even do it for free, you won't even race pigeons or horses or anything even for free, even when there's no money riding on it. So that's the brisa. So well, not done with the brisa yet. Sochre shviyas. What are sochre shviyas? Elu shenosin v'nosin beperu shviyas. That's people who do business with perush shviyas. Ve'emasai chazarasan. When is it considered that they did tshuva? Mishetagiyas shviyas acheres v'ibadlu. They can't do tshuva till the next shmita because they need another opportunity. When shmita comes again and they don't do business during shmita, why don't you just say they have some Shemitah produce left over? They have wine. They have Shemitah wine and they don't sell it. So why isn't that enough? No, because that's not a Chazar Gemura. Because when you have other things going on in your field and you have other ways to make money and you could do Schora with whatever's growing in your field, the fact that you don't do Schora with the bottle of wine that you have, that's a notar based in a bottle of wine, that's not a Raya that you're never going to do Schora with Shvius anymore. But if a Shemitah year comes and you own a field and that's your whole Parnassa normally, and then you stop doing Schora with it, that's going to be the full-fledged tshuva. When we keep on saying that you have to do a chazara gemura, what does that mean? Not just chazaras devarim, to say, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. No, you have to give back the money. Kate said, Omrani ploni bar ploni kinasti masayim zuz beperu shviyas. You have to say, I made $200 with Shemitah produce, and now I'm giving them to aniyim as a matana. That's what you have to do. You have to give back any money that was made in terms of Shemitah. So bottom line is, though, why did we quote this whole brisa? Because we were interested in determining what are mafricha yonim. Is mafricha yonim attracting birds from elsewhere to come to you, or is mafricha yonim bird racing? Kateni mias behema. So in the context of mafricha yonim, the brisa mentioned that it doesn't have to be yonim, it could be animals also. So if it's racing, so racing could happen with animals also. You could race pigs, you could race horses, you could race cows, whatever you want to race, you could race. So it makes sense. But if it's a matter of attracting the animal to come into your possession, isn't that only something that's done with birds? Is it possible to do with other behemos? So says Gemara, no, it is possible to do with behemos. If it's with a wild shar, which some say is a behema as opposed to a chaya. So if you hold that a shar habar is a behema, so then yes, it's possible to be involved in that with a shar habar. It's not shar habar min behema. Who Rabbi Yossi or min chaya? It's machlokas tanaim, whether it's a min behema or a min chaya. But bottom line is, that's why both possibilities of what mafricha yonim are justifiable. We can explain each one to be correct within that brisa. Tana, so now that we got through all the psulim that are mentioned in our Mishnah, Tana, there are more people that are pasul eidos, such as hagazlanim v'chamsanim, people who are gazlanim and chamsanim. You would think there are even more pasul eidos. Amazing that our Mishnah didn't mention them, right? A chamsan is someone who gives money, but he forces you to sell something to him. Gazlan daraisu, frak the Gemara, a gazlan is daraisa. So lo nitzucha, meaning what do you need to add that gazlanim are pasul eidos? Of course gazlan pasul eidos, he's daraisa. So lo nitzucha l'metzias cheru shota v'katan. Now we're talking about someone who has a metzia v'cheru shota v'katan, and he takes that metzia from the cheru shota v'katan. So Meikarasavar, originally we thought that is not going to pass you the Eidus. Why? Because Metzias Cher Shot of Katan lo Shchicha. So we thought it's very uncommon that a Cher Shot of Katan finds something, and therefore we're not going to make a gzera that you can be pasul eidos when you take it. Inam darkei shalom bi'alma, or we're going to say that's only darkei shalom. It's not real stealing. But once they realize that the bottom line is people are taking money, so they decided that they're gonna, that midrabanan you're going to be pasul edus if you steal from a cheir shot of a katan who are unable to make their own kinyan. Hacham sanin, what was the issue with the chamson? Why did we think that it's kashul edus and then we only added in later on that it's pasul edus? Meikar savar damika yaiv akrei bialmuhu. They thought that you're giving money and therefore it's not a big deal because you're paying money for it, and that which the animal comes into to your field is, or that which you're getting it is only once in a while. Given the chaz the kachatfi gazur rabbanan, but once they saw that you're actually grabbing and that you're taking it, so then the rabbanan said, no, we can't allow that to happen. That's going to be apostle edus. Tana odol sifalein haroin hagaban vamochsin. They added on top of that more psule edus, people who are shepherds, people who are gabayin, not a gabay in a shul, but a gabay who collects money from people for taxes and for whatever purposes, va'mochsin and the tax collectors. So says the Gemara, roi mei karasavar krei bialmahu. Roim, at first they thought that it's only on occasion that they let their animals go and graze in other people's fields, and it's not really something that really happens. It just happens on its own. It's not something that they do bekavana. Kivin dechazu dekavachavni v'shadu l'chadchila gazbu rabbanan. Once they saw that shepherds were dafka sending the animals into other people's fields, they realized that this is going to be someone who's going to be pasul le'edus. It's an important tells us over here about the chamsanim. He says chamsanim anyway, isn't it a violation of an issur daraisa of lo sachmot? Isn't that by definition the issur of lo sachmot? When you want something so badly, you force the other guy to sell it to you. So says Tosos that lo sachmot mashma de lo yav dami, v'chi yav dami lekalav de lo sachmot klal. That maybe when you pay money, it's not lo sachmot. Fractosos is nothing a gemara against that. There's nothing a gemara that says it's dafka lo sachmot when you pay the guy money and you force him to sell it to you. So he says what it really depends on over here when it comes to psoledos is not what's actually usher. It's what people think is usher. And someone in his own mind doesn't think that if he's paying money to somebody that he's doing anything wrong. So since in his mind he doesn't view it as any sort of stealing or any sort of iser, mele it's not going to pass on le'edus, even though in a chinami it is a violation of lo sachmot midaraisa. Okay, we'll pick up from the two dots. More psoledos tomorrow.